This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Xiaoning and Julian. Now, we've been running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, are you worried about the transition of power to the next Prime Minister? And if so, tell us why. So we've had about 90 votes so far, and it's quite a tie. So the 38% says yes, when will it happen? Another 38% said yes, who's the successor? 14% said no, it'll work out. 9.8% said no. They don't care. So the reason why we're asking this morning we're taking a look at a survey done by Merdeka Center that has been looking at some of the public sentiment towards the Pakatan Harapan administration. So the Merdeka Center's January report, a Malaysia Political Developments and Trajectories update, the pollster said that intra-Pakatan Harapan factionalism is expected to intensify, generating infighting that could further erode confidence in the ruling government.
Now, the report also notes that economic concerns remain the top contentious issue among voters whose support of the ruling government has soured. The report also notes that the public mood remains adversely cautious, with 61% of those surveyed believing that the country is moving in the wrong direction.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center. Thank you very much for joining us, Ben. Now, the survey does claim that support for Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim is low amongst the Malay community. What do you think accounts for this?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I think when we look at the support levels for various leaders, we have to look at it not in absolute terms, but in relative terms. The particular item regarding Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim is in comparison with the Prime Minister. And so when we have an incoming leader compared with the incumbent leader, there is naturally a discount attached by voters to the incoming person because, A, they don't know about what policies he is going to carry forward from the previous administration and what new things he will bring when he comes into power. The other thing is, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim has been the unfortunate victim of many, many years of negative publicity surrounding his personal life, surrounding some of his policies within the political arena. I mean, we have to bear in mind that he was the primary opposition leader for nearly two decades, and has been the subject of intense vilification by the previous administration. And so he is coming on at a point in time when many of the voters that are now in the so-called electoral market do not really know much about him because, 20 years has since passed when he was deputy prime minister. So you have at least a third, maybe nearly one half of the electorate that, have very little recollection or none at all about his performance as finance minister, as deputy prime minister of the country back in the 90s.
Ben, I see two issues from this. One is that it will complicate the succession issue because Dr. Mahathir's support among the Malays is still very high and increased to 58% in October 2018. And Anwar Ibrahim has support has dived among the Malays, but actually rose quite a lot among the non-Malays. So do you see this complicating the succession issue? And do you see this worsening the communal politics within Pakatan Harapan?
Well, I think that these numbers are just there, as a reference point. Leadership is completely a different matter. When we look at examples here in Malaysia as well as in other countries, naturally there is some skepticism or doubts about an incoming leader. Once the leader comes into position and uses the position to deliver on promises to perform very well on the task that's been allocated to them, these perceptions can change very quickly. We've seen this in many examples in the past. I mean, if you look at public perceptions about, parties in the Pakatan Harapan, back in the early 2000 era, before they became governments of various states, the confidence in these parties were very low. Likewise, confidence for their leaders as well. But as they come into power and they perform in the administration, these things change. So, yes, in immediate terms, when we look at this, yes, it may have some complications in a sense that you already have right off the bat, you know, some discount attached to Anwar Ibrahim by Malay voters. And there seems to be a dichotomy between the two individual leaders. However, this can change very quickly. To also take another perspective, it is both leaders actually complement one another. That the high support amongst non-Malays enjoyed by Anwar Ibrahim complements the relative lack of support of non-Malays towards Dr. Mahathir. So if these two men can find a way to complement each other and not undercut one another, then I think, you know, it actually strengthens rather than weakens Pakatan Harapan.
And Ben, what about the non-Malays? What are their general feelings towards Anwar Ibrahim at this juncture then?
I think when we look at the numbers, you know, the abrupt rise, surge in support or appreciation of Anwar Ibrahim came in the wake of several issues that seems to exacerbate concerns over ethnic relations and also the position of religion in public life in Malaysia. You know, over the last 6 months, we've seen controversy one after another relating to, you know, the Indian preacher Zakir Naik, issues about the introduction of Arabic or Jawi calligraphy in Chinese and Tamil schools, allegations of involvement of some Indian politicians here in Malaysia with the Tamil Tigers organization, all of this which seems to have heightened the concerns of the minorities in this country about their position and about the commitment of Pakatan towards multiculturalism. And also the attendance of Dr. Mahathir at the Malay Dignity Congress back in October, I think also raised some concerns that perhaps he's playing to the Malay gallery that thinks Pakatan is trying to move further to the right in order to account for its lack of Malay support. So because of that, they are looking towards alternatives. And when they are dissatisfied with one factor, they're looking for alternatives that can assuage them, persuade them that maybe the incoming leader, you know, will give them a fairer shake when he becomes Prime Minister.
So, Ben, the problem generally, I think, that Pakatan Harapan is now facing is that some of the reforms that they're looking at will take time to bear fruit, as your report also points out. And yet the public appear to be impatient for results. Is there a better way for the government to be addressing public demands?
Yes, I think there are ways for them to address the expectations of the electorate. I think first and foremost, I think the public itself is aware that the government is coming in at a very challenging time and that it is trying to handle the business, you know, after many decades of, you know, misrule or irregularities. And so the challenges are very big. But at the same time, you know, our Malaysian public has also, you know, some parts of them also have this view that the government is somewhat omnipotent, that, you know, I've given you this power. You make it happen, you know, make this country move upwards immediately, you know, but so people do not appreciate that it takes time for changes to take place and becomes part of the working culture. And so for the government to persuade the public that it's trying to move things in the right direction, I think a couple of things. Number one, it needs to reduce shocks to the system, particularly when it hits the livelihood of voters. And so we can see that the moves to cut subsidies and so on, those are very unpopular. And I think the government has read the signal very well and postponed the implementation of the targeted fuel subsidies. So I think the government is reading that. But I think it can go beyond by trying to target critical areas where small success stories can be talked about and become the springboard for further positive perceptions, such as reducing waiting times in key government services like healthcare and licensing and so on, reducing red tape, you know, things that may not require a lot of financial resources but saves time on the part of consumers. So I think they can move in that direction so that people have something positive to talk about. An example would be when Pak Lah came into office as Prime Minister, he did the spot check, he addressed systems like, you know, making an IC, passports and so on. Those things became very efficient and still remains efficient until this day. So I think there are small things that can be done that can improve the lives of ordinary Malaysians in a tangible way.
And Ben, the Kimanis by-election will happen on 18th of January. What are your thoughts on this, especially coming out after the very disastrous Tanjung PI results for Pakatan Harapan?
Well, I think, you know, Kimanis, you know, is a different kettle of fish altogether, partly because, you know, it's situated in Sabah. And Sabah, as well as in Sarawak, you know, has its own socio-political dynamics that is somewhat different than what we see here in Peninsular Malaysia. In Peninsular Malaysia, the ethnic competition between Malays and non-Malay parties and so on has been intensifying over the years. In Sabah, you know, things seem to be moving in one direction in the sense that after the takeover of the Sabah state government by Warisan and its allies, we see that, you know, many other leaders and political parties that were formerly Barisan Nasional have moved off and joined Warisan. And so I think, you know, Kim Manis is going to be less of a shock for Warisan and to the larger extent the federal ruling coalition, in the sense that they do have, I think, an advantage there of incumbency as well as the support of the people in Sabah. So I think it wouldn't be too bad. We don't know in details, you know, how exactly it's going to pan out, but it does look that Warisan as well as Pakatan has an advantage there.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Ben. And that was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, talking to us about the results of their latest survey on public sentiment, as well as his thoughts on Kim Manis. Now, just very quickly, we're taking a look also at the poll that we've had running. So far, the majority of the 100 or so respondents we've had to the poll have said that they are concerned about the transition of power to the next Prime Minister. It's pretty evenly split between the questions of when is it going to happen and who will be the successor. Do continue to let us know what you think, because we'll be taking a look at the results of that throughout the rest of the morning. But in the meantime, we're heading into the 8 o'clock news now. And then after that, we'll be having the breakfast grill, where Julian speaks with Dato' Daryl Weber, CEO of the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil. Be sure to stay tuned for that after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.